Now, Chris Godden has agreed to come and do nothing very difficult, but he is essential. Chris. Okay. Now, the other day the curate gave a present to the vicar. I can't think of anything actually more deserving than Chris, because he's one of the helpers at Explorers. He is fantastic at this. So this, you've got to admit, it's pretty impressive, even if you can't see very clearly what it is yet. Are you excited?
Yes.
I thought he would be. Now, here is the big moment. I am going to let Chris touch the other side of it. Keep holding that. All right? Now then, while we are standing there with this amazing present, I want you to think about this question. Has he already got this amazing gift? Or is he part of the way through getting it? Or will he really properly have it when I let go and he can open it and find what's in there? Think about that one. All right? That was all you had to do, Chris. All right? You can relax now. You can go and sit down. Now, that is actually the best way I could think of to explain where we actually are in history at the moment. John heard a voice announcing that the dwelling of God is now with men and he will live with them. Now, this is tricky because in one way, God came to earth the first Christmas when he was born in Bethlehem. That's happened. It's happened already. Then Jesus promised that he would be with us always, that the Holy Spirit would be with us. We are in the time of the Holy Spirit being with us. But we can look forward to a day when God will be with us with nothing in the way. No bubble wrap, no stuff, no troubles, no tears, and that is going to happen. Now, it's an all-age service, so we're a mix of people. Some of us like really long words, and some of us like looking at the pictures. I like both myself. So there is something for us here. This is for people who like long words. Okay? First word is realized eschatology. And there's the picture that go with us. It's happened. God is with us. Long word alert. Next word is inaugurated eschatology. You're loving this, aren't you, some of you? That means that it started God's presence with us. Third long word coming up. Future eschatology. That's what we're looking forward to. Someday there won't be anything in the way of seeing God properly. Now, Revelation is full of clues and symbolic language, which we haven't got time for, but it's all to reinforce over and over and over again the central feature of our hope, and that's about the presence of God. Now, Revelation tells us about this new heaven and earth in the future. And just like that amazing part of the last battle, it'll be real. It won't be a dream. In fact, it'll be realer. That's not a word at all, long or short. But I know what it means. It'll be realer than now. It's this world that's a bit blurred, like Colin's pictures at the beginning. All stars and explorers and adventurers have been doing the way God created the earth and created us for 2 weeks. In the first two chapters of the entire Bible, God creates an amazing world and human beings, each of us special to him. In the very last two chapters of the Bible, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the different thing is that they're not going to be separated as they are in this world, There are no more boundaries. The sea was a boundary at the time the Bible was written. People would have been quite happy in those days to think of a world without sea. They weren't bucket and spade people. The sea was fearful and frightening. Next week, the children's groups are going to talk about Adam and Eve and the real boundaries of our world, made out of selfishness and thoughtlessness and troubles and wrongs. But God has rescued us, so the new heaven and earth won't be separated. And there's also going to be no need of the sun, because our light will be the light of God. The new world is going to be a holy city. Lots and lots and lots of people. The whole of God's family together as a community should be. It's also likened to a wedding. So that's the whole community with extra helpings of happiness, and I should know. The Narnia book tried to explain how it's the same but not the same. It's the same but even better. And our very best foretaste was the way Jesus appeared to his friends after he was raised to life. He wasn't a ghost. He could enjoy breakfast, but the two friends on the road didn't instantly recognize him. He was absolutely real, but there was a new wow factor about him. And I've got one more long word coming up. There you go. This is from Tom Wright. He said the way Jesus was when he was raised was transphysical. Now, what difference does the future make to us now? That's why we decided to learn by heart that verse, so we have in our minds that we can remember at times of sorrow and pain. Because whatever age we are, we know that people die and we can remember no more death. Whatever age we are, we have worries and we can remember no more tears. Now, last time I did a talk, I did a test halfway through, and this is no exception. So there are going to be now some things on the screen, and I want you to think about everything you've heard in the service. If you think these things that appear are going to be in the new heaven and earth, then I want you to stand up, look enthusiastic, and give them a thumbs up. Okay, you ready for this? First one, please, David. Do you think it's going to be there? Come on then. Excellent. Okay. Next one. If you don't think it's going to be there, you sit down. That was a clue, wasn't it? Okay. Next one. Thank you. We're sure about that. Good. Next one. Is there going to be a city? You're getting this. You're getting good. Okay, next one. There are some people who can't bear to be without the sun over there. Okay, next one. The light of God. Good stuff. Next one. Goodness. Is there going to be goodness in heaven? Yes, thank you at the back. Excellent. Next one. Nearly finished. Two more. Next one. Last one. Excellent. Well done. You can sit down. You've done the test. Nearly all right. Now, that was not only so much a test as actually a way of doing part of the creed. Excellent. That's the last part of the creed. When we say the creed, we do a paragraph about God creating us. Wow. Then we do a paragraph about Jesus saving us. Wow. Then we do a paragraph about the Holy Spirit and bits and bobs. Or that's, if I'm honest, that's what my brain does when I get to the last part of the creed quite often, but actually look at it. This is what we believe about now and the future. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting are about this new real heaven and earth. The communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins are about everybody being there because Jesus has rescued them and they can be. And the Holy Spirit and the Holy Catholic Church, Catholic means worldwide, are about us now and God's presence with us. And about the challenge that we have now, that our faith isn't just this amazing hope for the future. We're going to be active with the Holy Spirit's help, sharing God's love. So the last long word coming up, this is your final long word, and it's collaborative eschatology. This is all of us, whatever age we are, assuring people that God came to earth, God is with us, and God will be present with us in a new world that's free from sorrow. So I think what we do, for my sake, is get this last part of the creed again back, and let's say it together with a bit of enthusiasm. And so at the end, it's probably not very Anglican, but at the end, instead of saying amen, can we all say wow? Because it is so amazing. So let's say the last part of the creed together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Wow! Excellent. And now Tom is going to come and lead us in our prayers.